Ja, zunächst aber sage ich hello and welcome,
hey, hey.
Raymond Baxter.
What's up?
What's up? How are you doing, my man?
So good.
Where are you coming from today?
Forgot about it.
What was that name of the town again?
Oh, no, I've been here since yesterday.
That took a while, though. Yeah.
Well, I was maybe thinking you were speaking of a specific place in Berlin.
No. I thought you were in another town.
Yesterday, I was... I was in Copenhagen, but okay. I ended a tour in Falkenberg, Sweden.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, and so then I took a little train and a plane, and I was here yesterday, and I'm here till Monday, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm hanging.
Cool, that's a good thing, though.
Yeah, you got some time to hang.
Yeah, you can explore Berlin.
Yeah.
And maybe the lakes that we have around this city, because, I mean, the weather.
It's hot.
Yeah, it's like you want to jump
Nashville.
Into the water.
This is the way it feels at home right
yeah?
now. So, yeah.
Like a juicy hotness.
A blanket of hot water.
Yeah, that's what it feels
that's
like.
That's thrown over you when you walk out of your house.
Yeah. Congratulations on finishing LP number 2, Imaginary Man, which has not been put out yet. And that's the hardest time for an artist, right? Having the record finished somewhere.
Yeah, it's kind of hard. I'm just grateful that it's out. I mean, it's coming out and that I'm here getting to share the songs, you know? So some people get to put albums out and they never get heard properly. So
this is better,
right? This album has actually been done since... January of this year. So we put it away, learned how to play some of the songs. You know, you come from the studio and you put these songs together and then you have to go play them live.
Yeah.
So that gives us time to go to the woodshed, you know,
and
learn how to do it.
And try the live versions, the real live versions. That's true too. But it must be hard, like for the first few weeks when you're coming out of the studio and it's really done.
Yeah.
You know, the artwork is done and everything. You want to put it out, you want to give it away, you want to show it to people, but you have to wait for a few more months, right?
Of course.
That must be hard.
It's
You've worked with Adam Landry, who's been in the studio with bands like Deer Tick and the Diamond Rugs. Those are kind of like rough sounding bands. I would describe their sound as pretty rough, both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a reason for you to go with him this time to try and explore a rougher world of sounds?
Yeah, the way I saw him, the two producers on the album, Eric Massey and Adam Landry. Eric is more of a sound guy, and in the beginning of recording the album, I was going to be a producer as well.
Yeah,
too many cooks in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Adam he's hairy, you know, he's got grit and he's brave and he takes chances that I wouldn't have necessarily taken with these new songs. And so when I was in the tracking booth and I look through the glass and I see him like shaking
nodding
his head into the groove. And then if we were taken the wrong way, he'd be like, no, let's try this. Everybody come in here and we have a little powwow.
Cool.
And he'd be like, what if you threw this B7 in there and, you know, starts going. And he's got cojones.
Yeah, and he seems to be really into the music then if he listens to all those little details.
Yeah.
And he's not an engineer producer who's just about the frequencies, but he's also about the music, right?
Exactly, big time. He does it all. And Eric and he made a really good team, and they clashed with each other well.
Yeah.
And when the two asteroids came,
and
then
nice.
They shot forward.
Yeah, but it must have happened in a nice and good way, because otherwise it's not nice for the artist, right? If the two producer egos clash in the studio and they'd be like, no, he's going to play the B-flat, I told you. And you're going to be like, what? I don't want to do music anymore.
The most beautiful asteroids covered in flowers and melodies, you know, with smiles.
Like, okay, cool.
La, 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 la.
I get the imagery now.
Yeah.
Thank you for explaining one more time.
Yeah.
Your father, who is also a multi-instrumentalist, and he has played with Bob Dylan's live band, he played with R.E.M. and all the other musicians. He's been touring all of his life, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on the record with you as well. How's working with one's father in the studio?
It's awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah, it could have gone way wrong, but it's awesome. You know, he's a really cool dad.
Yeah.
He's not square.
Yeah.
He's very cool, very hip, and he knows way more about studio involvement than I do.
Yeah.
So we made sure that the two songs that he played on the album, that they were done. And all we needed is for him to come in.
Yeah.
I even set up his pedal steel so that he could walk right in and play. And we spent an hour whatever came out of his hands and fingers. That's all we wanted. Yeah. We wanted it to be off the cuff, very natural, no thought put into it. Yeah. And so, and he came in and played really great stuff and then walked out.
Thank you, Daddy. Bye.
Yeah, he's like, see you later, kids.
Oh, cool. And I mean, that must be so cool to have a daddy like that.
It is. It's awesome. You know, he's been really, he's probably said 10 major lines of advice to me since I started writing songs and music that have kind of, they've influenced where I've taken my career and, you know, little things like, Ray, I'm listening to your show in the beginning when I was just starting up in Nashville. I'm listening to your shows and maybe you should think about writing less songs in the minor key.
Uh-huh.
Maybe write a sad song in the major key.
Try that. The counterpoint.
Little things like that where he'll see the ball. If I'm the bowling ball going down the lane, he'll just go, if I make my way too far to one side, tuck it.
Yeah.
Keeping it, making sure that I'm staying original in my efforts.
And that's a nice way of putting it again. And it must be nice to have a guy around you that is experienced in the business and is a guy who you can trust 110% because he's your dad, right?
Yeah.
He's not going to send you into the wrong direction purposely.
Yeah. You know, he's worked with the great songwriters, Bob Dylan, Steve Earle, Ryan Adams.
Yeah.
And so he's seen the mistakes that they've made as well. So I'm not saying that I'm anywhere near those guys in ability. I'd like to be one day, but he's seen them take it to a higher level. And
he might not avoid that you're going to do your own mistakes in the future.
Totally.
But I mean, it's really, I imagine it to be really nice to have someone like that around you who has the experience. And as I said, someone that you can trust 110%.
Yeah, man. Blood is blood.
Yeah, that's true. Let's listen to one of your new songs. It's called Yellow Eyes. Das Album Imaginary Man kommt hier erst am 14.8. raus. Raymond Baxter spielt aber heute Abend schon im Monarchen und wir werden ihn gleich auch nochmal kurz live hören, nachdem wir noch ein paar Fragen besprochen haben. Hier aber nochmal ein Auszug aus dem kommenden Album Imaginary Man. Hier ist Raymond Baxter mit Yellow Eyes. Raymond Baxter und seine brandaktuelle Single Yellow Eyes. There was a pedal steel on there again. Was it
No, electric
your
guitar.
Ah, just an electric guitar.
Yeah, that's my buddy Luke Reynolds.
But with a bottleneck, right?
No.
No, I thought it was.
He's just good.
He's just so good. Glassy fingers.
Yeah, a lot of people think that's a slide guitar or something. It's just...
Wow, well played. I've read that A Journey to Israel actually inspired you to write your first songs and for the debut LP, Feathers and Fishhooks.
Yeah.
Did you have to travel somewhere else again to get inspired for the new LP or has that happened in Nashville?
It happened in Nashville. I lived in a really sweet house for a year. It was an old house in East Nashville that had some spirits in it. I heard that back in the 80s, some songwriters used to live in there. But we found this out after my roommate and I had moved in there. It had a beautiful front yard, a beautiful backyard, big high ceilings. It was one story, one floor, high ceilings, wood floors, fireplaces, covered by old oak trees.
Wow.
And so I sat in that music room. I moved my bed into the music room and I slept next to the fireplace. I drank whiskey and smoked cigarettes inside. And we weren't allowed to smoke inside, but I did it and just got into it. Sometimes other songwriters or artists can attest to this. Once you get on a roll, just stay in your house. I've stayed in my house for 5 days at a time and.
Yeah, and once you get in that mood, right, in that headspace, you can. It's hard for you to stop writing and get out of the house, right?
Right, right.
Cool.
Just surf it.
You once said that Nashville is changing right now musically, and it had been the country capital of the world for so long, but you said that the vibe there is changing, is not as country-ish maybe as it was back then. So how's Nashville these days?
It's all over the map. It's growing in more ways than music. Also, it's the most popular city in the U.S. right now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something like 100 people moving there every day.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of traffic. There's the OG crew. like the people that kind
that
of
that have recorded all the hits back then. Talking
no,
about them,
like I'm talking about my group of friends that we kind of formed 7 years ago when I moved back to Nashville, and at that same time, a bunch of other people that we made the album with and moved there, and so there's that generation. Then there's the new generation of like some really rad punk rocking bands, and garage rock bands, like Bully. Yeah. Is from Nashville. They're based in Nashville, and I think they're doing some good things in Europe. What do you call it? Fly Golden Eagle is a really rad rock and roll band. There's just a really there's a cool music scene.
What I always envy is that when I think about Nashville, it must be cool to just walk around the streets and then you meet this really old guy who's like 70 or 80 years old, and you can basically start a conversation about music with this guy, you know? Mm-hmm. In Europe, this is super rad. It doesn't happen. Maybe it's a classically trained violinist that you meet in this age, you know? But he won't talk about pop music with you.
At the bar that I hang out called, it's called Edgefield, and you walk in and you can like look at all the guys that play maybe with Jack White or Old Crow Medicine Show, or like some guys that play with me, or some guys that play in a pop country band.
Yeah,
it's so thick, full of musicians. It's kind of mind-boggling for someone that's not used to it.
Yeah, but must be inspiring too, because it's incredible. You live in a city where you're like the only band in town, all you know, everybody loves you for that. But if you're in a city where everyone is a musician, you have to. It drives you, shit, right?
It's competitive too, you know. It drives you to make really good music and learn from your friends, and it's great.
How important has Caitlin Rose actually been for your start of your career? Because she featured you like 5-6 years ago already.
Yeah. I don't know why she picked me, because we didn't really know each other that well. We had like chatted on Facebook a couple times. Uh-huh. But I guess she enjoyed the sound of my voice. And so, that was before I had put out my first album. I was singing on hers. And she was quite popular in the UK and in Europe.
Here too.
All over. Yeah. And so I'm forever grateful for her on that. And she's a great songwriter and a really unique singer. And she's got a little chip and attitude about her that I really love. And she's witty.
Yeah.
She's good on stage.
Yeah, and that's something that I like about her too. You can definitely hear that she's a Nashville influenced person in her music, but there's still something edgy to it, and something that you won't hear when you listen to old school, old man's country music or something like that, right? So tonight's show, is it going to be a solo gig, or did you bring a
solo
band? Okay, cool.
So this is kind of my first attempt at going to play shows in Europe. And so I figured I'd come over here by myself.
Sure.
Not break the bank.
Yeah.
And but I'll have an electric guitar and an acoustic guitar, and I plan on covering quite a bit of sonic spectrum.
Yes.
It gets quite psychotic with the electric guitar and some of the newer material, and then really quiet with the acoustic and the electric as well. I'm going to do my best to entertain for 90 minutes.
That sounds good to me. So do you already have plans for coming back with the band after the LP has been put out, maybe?
Yeah, nothing's set in stone.
Yeah.
But I think that early next year, I'm going to tour in the U.S. for the fall. And, I think that early next year we'll come and I'll bring the band. And the band is...
Yeah, I can imagine
that. The guys that I made the album with are the band.
Yeah, cool.
And so it's really fun to play with them.
Well-oiled machine, right?
Yeah, and we all play really well together.
Cool, that sounds good to me. Now I want you to play alone, though.
Yeah.
Because nobody's with you. You're going to play us... an acoustic version of your song "Oh My Captain," is that right?
Yes.
Okay, let me just get another mic. Yeah, here we are. Rail and Baxter live auf Lux FM mit "Oh My Captain." Im Anschluss an diesen Song werde ich Tickets verlosen für seine Show heute Abend im Monarchen.
Captain, oh my captain, I've been working hard for you, trying to make you love me too. I'm doing all that I can do for my captain.
Oh, my captain, hold on to me. And see the rebel on the stairs, and all the roamers everywhere, and how it seems that no one cares for my captain. Well, tell me now what is going on. You see the ground that I'm standing on, how it crumbles at my feet. As we dance, you remind me. I've remembered every song, and now I've learned to sing them all. But still I wonder what is wrong with my captain. Oh, my captain, hold on to me, and tell me why you let me go, and why the anchorman needs a rope. Already halfway off the boat for my captain. Well, tell me now what is going on. You see the tower that I'm calling from, how it shakes beneath my feet. As we fall, you remind me. And as we fly, you remind me. Oh, my captain. Oh, my captain. Now it's time for me to part, to rip the needle from my heart. We were so wrong from the start. Oh, my captain.
Stadium applause. Thank you, my man, for that beautiful live performance. That was really beautiful. Goosebumps. You see them? They're happening. They're still happening.
That's the goal. That is rather cold in here, though, so make sure you know which one is which.
Basically, was it about the climate more than about the music? No, I'm just joking. Wer heute Abend Raymond Baxter live sehen möchte im Monarchen, der kann mich jetzt schnell anrufen unter der 030 2000 9000. Berlin 2000 9000 ist die Nummer zum Glück. Und wer durchkommt, der wird von meiner Kollegin Mickey Sitch auf die Gästeliste geschrieben für Raymond Baxter tonight at Monarch. Thanks a lot for visiting us.
Please, thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, no problem. Please come back as soon as you visit Berlin the next time.
Yeah, we'll bring the little band here and set up, do a broken down thing.
That would be cool. Maybe we'll do a little concert on the terrace. We'll do that sometimes too.
Oh yeah, we'll bring jackets.
Sounds like a plan. Okay, thank you for visiting. Have great fun at tonight's show, and I'll see you soon. Bye-bye, Raylan.
Bye-bye.